Joanna, do you ever wish you could definitively prove that you had the right opinions about movies?
Yeah, Neil, because I do have the right opinions about movies and television. Right, Dave?
No, because I'm more right about those things, and I demand trial by content.
Oh boy, what is trial by content?
Each week, we'll take on a huge question.
Each of us will bring a choice, and combined with listener submissions and your votes, we will come to a decision.
It's Trial by Content every Tuesday on Spotify, TheRinger.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Don't let Neil win.
Don't let Dave win.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Listeners, welcome. This is Sound Only. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Mike Peters.
We're your Sound Only co-hosts, here to record our deepest, darkest thoughts about the millennial lifestyle, including, not limited to, Twitter and all its glorious sub-factions, sub-channels, Black Twitter, Rap Twitter, Anime Twitter.
And the purchase thereof
by Elon Musk,
by the coward Elon Musk. Oh man.
Okay, here's the thing. We'll talk about other stuff this episode, but this is like hot off the presses, right? This is hot out of Deal Book, New York Times, you know, M&A News, right? This man, Elon Musk. I'm supportive of this deal, by the way. We're going to get into why.
Elon Musk
dropped 44 bands.
$44 billion. For edit button. It's so crazy.
First of all, don't yeah, he bought Twitter. Because I am opposed to the edit button specifically. I don't get why people insist on that.
I don't understand why anybody insists on having the edit button either, because I, for one, would definitely abuse it, because I'd be
you
like,
you would abuse
you know,
it.
I'd tweet something like God. I'd tweet something like God bless America, and then I would like wait for it to get like mad retweets, and then I'd just be like, motherfuckers in school always telling me cheap keep about this, cheap keep about that. Shut the fuck up. I would do that, you know? Like, there's so many
the obvious
worse
use case for that,
people
of course you
than
would
me
that.
Out yeah. there, you know? Yeah. Of course I would do that. Come on. If I had superpowers, there's no chance I would use them for good.
It's misinformation in a can, and I don't know why there are people, in our profession even, who have spent 10 years clamoring for an edit button, which would obviously be a disaster.
Yeah.
Setting that aside, Elon Musk buys Twitter for $44 billion. This is this podcast. We talk about the millennial lifestyle, and I know we talk about anime. We could be talking about anime shows. I'm behind. We'll get to anime at some point. Maybe we'll bank an episode around the time of my wedding. We'll talk about one of the mini series we should probably be talking about. There's so many things we could talk about. Twitter isn't even my lifestyle no more, but it is a big part, I will say, Micah. It's like how I got into web writing and all this shit. Like, I have David Drake. Shouts out to David Drake, who, like, literally back in the day, I was living in D.C. I was working in crisis communications. I got to know my man, the music journalist. You know, he works for a label now, David Drake. And this man, via DM, sight unseen, helped convince me to move, to quit my job and move to New York to become a freelance writer. God bless America and no place up. That's my relationship with Twitter. Twitter is how I got in the game, right? Twitter is how I got in the game. Yeah, there are conversations and people I miss from that platform, but also that platform is garbage. And that's why I'm not on there and haven't been on there for like 4 years at this point. What's your relationship with Twitter? You don't
tell
even tweet
us
that
again.
Much. But you don't tweet that much.
What?
I feel like you don't.
Nah. I mean, like, literally, like, I get on to, like, and a big part of me not being on there as much as realizing what I go there for, which is either to, like, exercise some negative energy that I've had held over from bullshit that has happened over the day, like picking easy fights, or Or, you know, like to just kind of like toss off some, I mean, this is a thought that I had that I, you know, I, 5 seconds is probably the amount of time that I spent thinking about this. And 5 minutes from now, it might not even be there, is how I use Twitter these days. But yeah, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's, there's jokes or whatever, but also Twitter is, you know, the whole thing about Twitter being delayed TikTok and Instagram also being delayed Twitter, some, you know, as if like, just because like Twitter has been such a, like, you know, dominant social media, like the present, like the omnipresent social media platform for like going on a decade now. It's not as if like it can't just, you know, begin sucking more and more and gradually more people leave it, like Tumblr or MySpace or anything else before it, or Facebook, you know. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe it'll be, there'll be something else. For now, I'm here for the jokes.
But you know what it is? Like what you were saying about you going there to like get negative energy or whatever. Like the thing is, that's actually what used to be to me, right? Beautiful about Twitter, right? It's sort of like, and a lot, the secret of Twitter, right, is like it's a glorified web forum. Like social media in general, at some, like in the beginning, sure, they were about acquaintances and shit like that. But Facebook and Twitter, they just became glorified web forums. And so much of like web forum culture I remember from the 2000s, right, really was just like being mad and logging into an account and yelling at people about the war in Iraq, right? That's, and that's kind of what the energy of Twitter
exactly.
was. Like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
and, like, you know, now, like, you know, a more about, yeah, I mean, like, it's just about lurking now.
Yeah.
It's about lurking and peace. Support your friends, lurk otherwise, get a few stray thoughts off, get out of there. Don't spend
that's
too much time.
But you know what it is? It's like, that's a good everyman approach to Twitter. I think the problem with Twitter to me, like in terms of my life personally, and I think a lot of people who I know and love, right, is that kind of energy and that kind of purpose is cool when you're treating it like something more like a web forum. I think the problem is when Twitter became increasingly professionalized, especially with our set, right? Like journalists, podcasting, news,
oh,
and opinion
yeah.
economy. Once you turn that shit into a workplace too, that was a wrap. Like that's kind of the problem with Twitter is like you, it's this weird fusion of people talking crazy to people online, but also like representing, you know what I mean? It just doesn't, it,
I like it's just I think that there's also kind of like in our set there would be sort of like the some of the funniest interactions are sort of like when you just sort of talk crazy when you say something like you would say normally yeah. and like the reaction is just kind of like, you know, you can't do that. Or like it tickles me. It's like it's so funny. But also like it hasn't always been like that. There's also been times that you've read more into it or whatever, because yeah, it is like a feedback loop primarily.
Yeah.
And that, like, it, like, and it's good and bad.
Yeah. And I think over, I don't know, like, watching people work out all of their sort of political transformations and personal problems and mental health issues on a, like, public social media platform that, you know, unlike a web forum, right, when you were doing that shit anonymously back in the day, the fact that the default of Twitter and Facebook became, like, you do this stuff on your real name in a way that, like, people can see. And you at work, kind of.
Yeah.
That's where it's like, oh, wow, this is a mistake. And it gets toxic really quickly. And I think, you know what it was? It's like, I feel like on this podcast, I've identified, I'm sort of like the Joker in The Dark Knight where I have 6 different origin stories. And if I think of like when I left Twitter, I think I've talked about like the Yay rollout. It's like the Kids See Ghost rollout. It was Covington. It was the little Covington kids. And then...
I can't believe that you count. Like, it's just, first of all, I'm not going to let you get away with comparing yourself to the Joker in the Dark Knight. Number one, like, and having your defining element of tragedy.
You want to know how I got these
in your
scars.
Background. You want to know
my
how I got these scars. I watched the yodeling Hotfoot kid in Walmart. What's his name? Mason. Yeah, heartbreaking. And I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, but the most
it's just like, I
hate you. It's true. I'm not lying.
I hate you, man.
They're like, all equally like, true.
You are just,
but it, you know what it is? The one I was, that just came to mind was like Jussie Smollett. It's just like watching everyone react to Jussie on Twitter.
Oh my God.
Oh, bamboozled. Like,
oh my God.
and that's what I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, this is
I can't, like, I can't, I couldn't believe that there were people taking the situation seriously. I how could you not be Switzerland and just laugh from, I just didn't understand, like, wading into that, but yeah. That's most things.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure. And Twitter was fine when it was a platform when you could take that attitude of like, not everything needs to be waded into. You kind of you pick your spots on Twitter and you know. But it just became this like terror dome. And I feel like so many people talk about it self-consciously like that. Like it's
a bad place. For like, yeah, I mean, like it's just especially for, projecting good politics or for, you know, working like out, like you said, identity stuff, which, you know, also kind of reads into the misplaced vitriol, whatever thing you want to call it. Like, you just dunking on this person. Now we all got to see it too, type of situation.
Yeah.
Which I mean, like, you know, I like, it's addicting. I don't know what to tell you. And either, like, I guess you can either wean yourself off of it and you leave completely, or you just kind of like stick around looking for those never let them see your next move videos, which again, I could just go to TikTok for those. Like, yeah. Also like RX nephew tweets.
Yes, yeah, that's a fair. Yes. Oh, I got Instagram for that though. He did that screenshot of all his tweets on Instagram. But to your point about weaning off, like this, now we get to what I was saying up top about I support Elon Musk in this endeavor, and I'll tell you why. I'm not some Elon Musk fanboy, okay? That's not where this is coming from. I think the ways we talk about Elon are a little indirect and kind of roundabout, but I get why people, like-minded people to myself, are frustrated with Elon in a lot of ways. I will say this. I am a Twitter accelerationist. I want nothing more than to see the death of that website. I think it has hijacked the minds of my generation. I think it has stolen from me people that I love and respect. And I want nothing more.
I watched the greatest minds of my generation destroyed by manual retweets.
Yeah,
the Justin Charity story. I think that we need to contextualize this a little bit because we need to explain the sort of reactions that have been coming out
in the wake of the news of Elon Musk's
successful bid, you know, to buy Twitter.
Yeah.
His takeover bid or whatever. There have been, you know, the immediate, bleeding heart, I'm leaving Twitter, like, after however many years, which kind of, like, has the air of I'm going to Canada in 2016, or, who wants to expat at any given time. and then there is, like, you know, kind of the reaction to that reaction, which is that you're never leaving Twitter. You're addicted to it like the rest of us.
Yeah.
and further other people that are just kind of like tweeting out pictures of Kate Bush that they like, or you know, talking about how the Nets are kind of blowing it in the playoffs. I don't know. Like, there's it's sort of, I don't know. There's also like the serious concern, trolley, this is an attack, a direct attack on free speech thing. It's I don't know.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Here's the thing though. It's like, to me, the,
which I mean, like, you cannot, like, which you can't downplay, like, over, like, in the last, sure, in like in modern history, like, Twitter as like a vehicle, like a delivery vehicle for like information, is like, and having it be like not spun or twisted or whatever, yeah, or added to in any way, was, is like an important thing. Like, it, like, it's, yes, absolutely. But like, also, I think we're kind of saw the degradation of that over the last 3 years.
Yeah. It's like an issue where I have so much sympathy for a lot of different ways of looking at it, right? I get the idea that moderating the internet is hard and that things should be freer rather than less free. I also totally get, though, how like a person comes up in this century and the internet has just turned, like, it's turned the whole idea of information on its head. And you react to that with anxiety. Like, it's, I perfectly understand a person who confronts something like social media, like Twitter, and is like, this is a nightmare. What the, we have to find a way to like reorganize human thought, because otherwise, what is it? We just watching PewDiePie videos forever? Like, what are we doing? Like, I get it. I get it. I get it. I totally get that. Yeah. I get that response. I think, though, look, my best case scenario is this, right? It's like Elon buys Twitter and people have the courage of their convictions and they write their 100,000 why I'm finally leaving Twitter essays, and I'm not going to read them shits, but I will welcome you with open arms in the Thug's Mansion. I will welcome you with open arms. I will have a pineapple basket.
Oh, man.
I'm going to bake you some pastries. Come join me, brothers. You know what I mean? It's like, I get it. I think the more realistic thing about it, though, like, you're talking about people being like, nah, I'm leaving this platform. I don't like Elon. I don't like that this is sort of a rightward shift. It's, I think what I don't like about Elon,
every post is putting money in a, is, yeah, putting passive income in a billionaire's, yeah, pocket, et cetera,
like, et cetera. I hope people, like, are about that life. You're right. Like, Elon sucks. Get off Twitter. Come on.
I am very sad that ownership of Twitter has passed from the good billionaire to the bad billionaire. Yeah. It's a hilarious take.
You think like Sasha Obama owned it before? Like, what is happening? I think the sad truth is this is more like cigarette addiction, right? Where it's like people do feel a kind of way about Elon Musk, but the courage, I don't think the courage of a lot of people's convictions is really going to motivate them to, you know what I mean? It's like they've been stewing in that shit for 10 to 15 years. You know what I mean? And it's so easy. I know this is somebody, I mean, even though I left, right? It's like, it's so easy to just stay there and to feel like, look, especially if you work in journalism or podcasting or whatever, there's so many incentives that say, man, it's easy to get attention here. It's easy to find pockets of validation here. It's easy to self-promote here. Like, why would I go anywhere else? But the answer is because you're putting tar in your lungs. That's why you should leave. I don't know.
Oh,
the best thing I can hope for, though, is that people are radicalized enough by Elon Musk buying Twitter that they leave Twitter and that they reclaim their mind space. Okay. I'm not saying everybody who leaves is going to go do something healthy and productive. For all I know, you're going to go to 9chan or something if you leave Twitter. But I'm just saying you could get right, like a Ringer tech writer and podcaster Alyssa, and like, you know what? Start growing plants. All the time you was on Twitter, like, put some plants on your patio and go nuts. And you know what I mean? Like, be like Michael Caine in Children of Men. One of my role models, right? Like, just get better hobbies. Spend your time more wisely. Watch YouTube essays. Anything but Twitter. This is This is the week to change your life.
There you have it. Learn a trade.
Learn that's a trade. What,
that's
what,
that's it. That is the Join advice me. From the mountaintop from Justin Jerry.
Join me. I know it sounds mad condescending too. I'm really not, I'm not above it.
Like,
No.
What I'm saying is that, like, if you would like the less dramatic version of this, what I'm saying is that, you know, like, get on Twitter to watch a basketball game with a few more people than you're watching it with currently, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Get on Twitter for jokes. Just like, you know, it isn't also, I mean, like, but also, like, as the jokes continue to, like, as they get less funny or the place gets less fun, just stop going to it and eventually you'll do something. I just don't think it's that dramatic. You know what I mean? This is kind of like what Yahoo bought Tumblr. It's like, it's gonna suck now. Where am I gonna get tasteful dudes? Where am I gonna get weirdly specific, like, jokes from literary crit majors about, you know, macaroni? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, there's the weirdness is going to find a way. I don't know. Like, I just don't think that this is some huge deal. Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah. Like, but
there are ways to make it work that you're talking about. I do think that for the internet in general, the only cultural solution is to bring back anonymity. Like, people need, like, it's why I like Reddit. I never in a million years thought I would like being on Reddit, but the idea that it's just no one is more important than anyone else and everybody's name is just a handle and, like, you don't know who these people are. Like, that's so, it's so good for the culture of Reddit, even though Reddit used to have that reputation of a cesspool in its own right. And it is in a lot of ways, but anonymity is the thing I miss. If I'm gonna get on some old millennial shit, I'm gonna stand up here and extol the virtues of, again, Twitter not being this place that has to be both your raggedy online self, but also your, you know, your staff title and your handle and your work email. Like, that mashup of culture does not work. And we need to revert back to
the Forever Purge presented by Justin Charity.
My signal is, like, in my profile. Like, yeah, it's oh no.
Oh man. I mean, like, you know, anonymity also has its pratfalls and, you know, its violent tendencies. However, like, yeah, I mean, like, it was also chill sometimes. I don't know.
We don't have the answer.
It is a hopeless. We don't have the answers. It's a hopeless mess. You know. I mean, like, you know, get those more like Elon Musk jokes off now, I guess. Like, I don't think that it's really going to be the censorship crisis that that maybe other people would have you believe. But, you know, shit, I've been wrong about things before.
Like what? Wow, you can't even think of that. Like, wow, how humble.
Damn, you know what? Birkenstock Bostonias, man. I was calling them Jesus sandals for a really long time, but them shits is very comfortable. I haven't worn anything else for weeks. Yeah. Yeah. That was the truth. Like, listen, you asked, and yeah, I delivered.
It's fair. You did. Right? You did. Very relatable example. Too.
I did.
Give you credit for that. Let's take a break, man. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about Josh Brolin for some reason. We're going to talk about Outer Range. After the break.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Well, you know, like, I would just say that, you know, like, there's a great void In our television watching schedules. There's a great void!
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? wrong with Josh Brolin?
I don't know what's wrong with Josh Brolin, but that is like, I, that is seriously, I texted Charity about like watching Out of Range, a new Western sci-fi horror mystery situation going on Prime Video. It began streaming pretty recently, featuring Josh Brolin, top billing, and Lily Taylor, who is also there and trying her best. And then, like, you know, Imogene Poots being kind of doing this annoying, you know, manic pixie thing. And then just like a procession of humorless lumps. I like, but Outer Range, I guess, is like kind of alternately being reviewed as one of, you know, late spring, early summer's patient mysteries, gets the things right that Stranger Things doesn't, so on and so forth, like appointment viewing. However, we have both watched it, and I think Cards on the Table, we're both sort of like, eh, on it. Yeah. In fact, that little bit of performance at the beginning was like the first time that I was really, really paying attention to what was going on at the show. Because Josh Brolin, like, he gets his moments. He gets his moments to brood and erupt, you know, like as Josh Brolin does. But I mean, like around that, I don't really know what's going on, and I don't know that I care how it's going to turn out with so many things, so many loose strands in the show.
Yeah. And it's a show where it's kind of pitching you, again, with this void in the ground, right? It's pitching you on surreal. It's sort of like, oh, you take this really mundane rural setting, but then you add these surreal elements to it. And so there's a version of that where you'd say, well, I don't know what's going on because the show is so surreal and twisted. But in this show, that's not really why you're disoriented or sort of unengaged sometimes. It's because the surreal elements are almost too far and few between. And it otherwise does feel like this really understated, I think stylistically, deliberately, kind of emotionally unavailable character drama. And that, and I don't know, it's like the balance of surreal and mundane is super off with Outer Range. And I don't know, I don't think either, like I certainly don't come to this show with any impulse to just dunk on it. And if anything, I thought a lot, I was watching it, right? And I was thinking in the, so this is a show on Amazon Prime, right? And it sort of airs weekly. But I was thinking about Netflix, and I was thinking about their whole huge thing about losing like 200,000 subscribers in the most recent quarter, and they expect to lose 2 million subscribers in the next quarter. And thinking about that thing of like, yo, if Outer Range had been on my TV, on like my fuzzy ass upstairs TV with 5 channels on it in 2002, right? I might have been engaged with it in a totally different way than I am now in this world where the weirdness of Outer Range feels like it's just kind of a desperation to stand out in a content mill of 1,000 different new TV shows coming out in the course of a single year. You know what I mean? It's hard. It's hard for a show like this to kind of grab your attention while being...
To also, the note, like, is that and those shows are also self-consciously strange.
Or, yeah, yeah.
Like, attempting to stand out in similar ways.
Yeah. And it's like the other thing I thought about was when we were talking about Atlanta, and I just went off about Lovecraft Country. I was like, oh, this most recent season of Atlanta doesn't feel, it doesn't have that Glover sensibility. The first two seasons has, it feels like now they're just ripping off the kind of Jordan Peele house style of like socially conscious black horror. Right. And I was, I stick to that, and I stuck to that comparison of like, this just feels like Atlanta trying to become Lovecraft Country for unclear reasons. But then I started watching Outer Range, and now I feel like the Boss Baby tweet of like guy who's only seen Boss Baby watches the second movie getting a lot of Boss Baby vibes from this. Because then I was like watching
Outer Boss Baby vibes from this.
And then I'm watching Outer Range, and I'm like, this too reminds me of Lovecraft Country, but it's white people. You know, it feels like white people in Wyoming
love Lovecraft Country vibes from this.
But then that makes me feel bad because then I'm like,
I mean, honestly, though,
losing my mind.
It's like the like
am I a bad critic. What's happening?
I honestly could not tell you. However, I mean, like, you're not totally wrong. It's like the anthologized story that like they've already separated off whatever happened to Josh Brolin in his past when he showed up on his ranch. Basically, okay, I think I should back up and set a little bit of the table here. So,
yeah,
Outer Range is about a family that lives on a ranch in Wyoming. They have apparently fallen upon hard times, leaner times than even the lean times that they saw as good in the immediate past. This family has been on this like ranch for a bunch of generations. You've heard the story before. The bank's trying to take it. Their neighbors are trying to take it. Modern forces are conspiring to take this ranch away from this family. But the twist is that, like, the wife, played by Lily Taylor, it's her family that's actually been on the ranch for generations, and Josh Brolin was just some kid that showed up one day, knowing nothing about his past. So that's one thing. There's been the disappearance of Josh Brolin's. So Josh Brolin and Lily Taylor have two sons, Perry and Luke, I think. Yeah, is that right? I'm not entirely sure, but I don't even know the other one's name. However, they just kind of brood around. One of them lost his wife, Rebecca, before the beginning of the show, and that's another storyline that's going on. And then also there's this this lady named Autumn, played by Imogene Poots, that just shows up on the ranch one day and says, hey, can I camp out here for a while? Honestly, like, I texted you about, like, is this a anxiety social commentary horror about white entitlement? I literally don't know what's happening. This is at the very end of episode one. I had no idea what was going on. There's also like a giant hole in the ground to a different dimension or to space or to the other side of the earth or to a void. I have no idea. Just out in the pasture somewhere. Yeah. So there's that.
And your boy,
yeah,
you know, Josh Brolin's clinging to the land. He doesn't want to part with his land. And there's a lot of stuff going on. I don't know. It's weird because it feels like some of the plot beats are pretty melodramatic. You got a murder, you got all this stuff, and it's like, I don't know. It's too low key.
And yet, like, the void, like, feels like a literal, it feels like a literalization of something, yeah. Like, yes, immediately. Yes.
Even just the fact that it's a void and that it is referred to as such, as a void.
Yeah. As a void.
Yeah.
As a great void.
As a great void.
And I mean, like, yeah, it's really like, you know, what's going on, man? What's happening?
It's just very, brother? You know what it is, though? It's ultimately, ooh, to your point about how it's being kind of recapped, it's like, it's very prestige-y. That's kind of that's the main adjective for describing it. It's very prestige television.
Like, because it's a very pretty show. Like, I mean, like, maybe a little dark. The color palette, you know, maybe not as well lit as maybe I would like, whatever, but there's still like really cool shot. Like in the second episode when he goes to see I can't remember his name in the show, but Will Patton. Will Patton plays the
Wayne Tellerson,
Scion patriarch of the ranch across the way, the neighboring ranch. And he wants 600 acres of Josh Brolin's West Pasture based upon some technicality and some deed.
Yeah.
But like, it's, you know, again, like, we don't care about this land plot really. But him going in to meet the like into the master bedroom to meet Will Patton, who's like reclining on this giant bed with wolf fur on it, and there's like deer antlers on the wall with exposed brick, and it's like he's got like all of these, you know, life-saving machines strewn around the bedroom. It's like a really cool shot. Like that, there's a lot of really cool images in the show, stills of the show. However, like, can you say like what's going on? Like, I can't really.
People want land. I don't know, but you're right. It's like beyond the sort of basic land dynamic. It's, and then again, it's weird because it's not a show that's, it's not convoluted. It's almost the opposite of that. It's just so low frequency that it's just hard to kind of, it never feels like the show is getting out of bed is what my response to it is a lot of the time. The show is just very slowly trying to roll.
Even like the fist fights feel like, you know, sedate. And like just sort of casual almost. like when the two brothers get into the fight outside the bar with Trevor or whatever. It feels like it's happening in slow motion.
Yeah. Maybe that's the vibe. I mean, the show feels super rural in sparse, right? Like maybe that's the intended thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I have much to recommend it. It mostly got me thinking about, again, I mean, I guess a lot of things do, but it feels so distinctly prestige-y. And I know it's like, it's kind of a memeing when I compare it to Lovecraft Country, but it does the thing where I think at least Lovecraft Country had a verve to it, especially like that one sort of fake TNG episode where homegirl goes to the Amazon planet.
Oh, that shit was wild.
Yeah, that's
the thing is that like the split of the show into like it being sort of an anthology series is so muted as to almost be imperceptible.
Yeah.
Like, but it's just kind of like things are branching off, but you don't notice it because everything is gray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. That's kind of all I got about Outer Range. I mean, I feel like I really do think there are like four different anime things that we should or mean to get around to talking about. I'm going to try to catch up on some of that stuff maybe before my wedding.
Yeah, man. You still like haven't seen the Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie, man. Like you got some catching up to do.
Box office chugger. Juggernaut. Number four of all time. Juggernaut. Anime box office. Number four in the U.S. release all time. Still, it's like above. Okay, so it's ahead of the Dragon Ball Super Broly.
Oh, you were watching the Batman on HBO Max over the weekend?
Right.
This opened up number two.
Number two.
Behind the Batman.
Right. Man, you're just making me feel bad because of all the shit I gotta watch, I don't know. I would rather do Jujutsu Kaisen in manga form than keep watching the anime. I'm sorry. I know I'm disappointing you.
Listen, man. I've read the most recent volume over the weekend. It's fire. However, so is the movie. So you should definitely peep that. So.
Wait, by the way, did you know? I missed this. This came out a few months ago. So, you know how Chainsaw Man was supposed to come out, right? And then it just evaporated. No one knows what the fuck is going on. So, apparently Netflix is getting that. Apparently Netflix is getting Chainsaw Man, and that's what's going on. Is they're sorting out like localization stuff and release, and why are you mad? I mean, it kind of...
So, Netflix is holding it... No, I mean, like...
Devil Man Crybaby
so,
effect!
Like, it's just like so... Yeah, I like. Listen, I'm not sighing because Netflix. I'm sighing because like Netflix was the one that was holding this hostage the whole time. We've been asking.
Right, listen. We await with open arms. You know what? We need to email some publicists. We're gonna do some journalistic footwork to figure out if this is really true. Because if so, they need to send us some screeners in advance so we can do proper criticism and journalism about it. Okay. Because otherwise, y'all gonna have us on here reviewing isekai shows, and I don't feel like doing that. I'm sorry. I don't know, man.
Listen, I mean, like I could talk about Sonny Boy if you want.
You want to talk about Sonny?
Yeah,
listen, by all means.
No, not now. I'm saying like in the future, we should probably make an episode about that show in the future. Just
bet.
Yeah. 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 But that's all we got this week. If you want to email us about Sonny Boy, about Chainsaw Man, about Outer Range,
Twitter,
about anything Elon. Else, I mean, about Twitter, about, I mean, you know, hit us up, man. soundonlypod@gmail.com.
soundonlypod@gmail.com. I'm Justin Charity.
And I'm Micah Peters.
Shouts out to our producer this week, Isaiah Blakely. We'll see y'all next time.